We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. I almost forget the name sometimes. I'm getting old.
Well, you are getting old.
Kidding? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That happened a while back.
Yeah, that's better than the alternative being room temperature somewhere.
Well, that's true.
You know, so what the hey, you know. Boy, I'm amped up today. We've got a studio full of buffoons. No, I didn't say that. I didn't want to come out and say that. But we've got some gentlemen in here.
Gentlemen? Gentlemen. That's a stretch.
My co-host, I'm basking in his aura, the best lawns man in America, Mark Tobin. Greg Thompson here, who built GMC trucks all over the place. And then we have...
I guess something like that.
Got a mechanic coming trucks. And Brent Frazee. I'm so tickled, Brent, that you're still above ground. Brent, that's step A.
I am, too.
You're getting long in the tooth, as they say.
Oh, geez, I'm getting, well, not long everywhere, but. If I got you kicked off yet.
Here we go.
last week, we were talking about shrinkage. I assumed that everybody knew what we were guessing. Anyway, shouldn't have gone down that road. I got one call. It wasn't very polite, but. I didn't mean anything. We were trying to make you laugh. You know, it was an old Seinfeld joke.
Yeah.
You know.
That was a great episode.
Yeah, sure. Shrinkage. Come out of the pool. You know. It's a hey. Boys, I'm tell you what. I've been around kicking around a long time doing this radio. This is coming up 38 years. Hmm. And I've never had so much feedback of people fishing in Milford Reservoir. The hybrid bite is on fire.
Yeah, and it started a little bit early this year. Usually, I mean, typical years, it's a little closer to 4th of July, but they really have got going. And catching them a variety of different ways, catching them on spoons, catching them on jigs, catching them on topwater baits. It's time to be out there. Lots and lots. I've never heard of so many being caught.
And the smallmouth bass are going crazy.
And we don't talk about that very much on Milford, but it's an unbelievable smallmouth lake.
It's an unbelievable smallmouth lake. And yeah. Just talked to my old buddy Rick Dykstra yesterday, and he said, you've got to get down here. He said, they went out in the heat of the day. I said, why would you do that? And he said, well, didn't have anything else to do. And he said, they were catching nice smallmouths right in the heat of the day.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, and it's the same way with the hybrids. A lot of people that I've talked to are going out early and late. But I know I've been down there in August in the heat of the summer, and we've done real good in the heat of the day. And it's, you know, it's rough. You know, it's not comfortable, but there's not very many people out there either. So you can kind of beat the crowd just a little bit by doing that.
Did you ever analyze that, why there's no one else out there?
Yeah, they had something between their ears that actually worked.
I was fishing one time on Taney Como, and it was windy. It was one of the coldest days I ever recorded at Branson. And I was down there fishing with a buddy of mine, and we were floating down the river, and he turned around to me, and he said, there's nobody else out here. And I said, you're right. Boy, it was good. We the only bait in the water, you know.
Yeah, right.
But hey, I wonder. You know, I tried to analyze Milford, and I'm giving up. I'm not very smart. But that lake is the best kept secret in the United States of America. You know, at one time it was a tremendous walleye lake, and I think it's bouncing back a little bit.
On yeah, deal. I heard a lot of good reports this past spring on Milford.
Yeah.
But the big show, though, is the hybrids right now. And, I mean, and it's probably one of the better lakes in the country for blue cats, too. They have really taken off there.
Do they taste good?
Don't start that. Don't start that.
Fred and I disagree on this. I love blue cat. I think they taste great. And, yeah, he doesn't. Now, I think that's the difference between reservoir blue cat and river. I think there is a difference.
Well, he says they suck while he's eating it.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know what I was eating.
Yeah, he doesn't get too many meals.
Hey, yeah. I thought I'd give everybody a heads up. It sounds like, and maybe, this is a maybe, this is maybe not cut in stone yet, but we might get Jim Shockey to do a radio show with
us. Well, there's been some rumblings about that. And, is it getting closer?
Really, really cool. We're getting closer, and I'll roust him out next week. But, you know, we're probably going to have to record it because of the time differential. You know, he'll be in British Columbia. So, what, 2-3 hours difference of time, 2 hours, whatever. And so I don't want to get him up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do a radio show, you know. So we might have to record it on the deal. And his schedule is tough,
you
know, on the deal. But I've been secretly trying to get a hold of him for a long, long time and finally got his right-hand man. And it sounds like we can put this together. Although we did, my boy, he's in the studio, Chris is with us, and we sent him a text and have not replied, but that doesn't mean. I think he was very wanting to do it. He was really wanting to talk about gun control in Canada. And this is going to be a major, major issue, bringing guns into Canada. It already is, but you can still fill out the proper paperwork and get there and give it to the border guards, and they like that. But and I've talked to John Devney, who has to go back and forth to Canada all the time, and he said as long as you have the proper paperwork, he said you breeze right on through. But he said if you don't, he said you're going to figure on an hour and a half maybe at the gate for them to process you on the deal. So but things Canada, the prime minister, who is that prime minister of Canada, would that would be the
Trudeau
president? Trudeau is not a very
Fidel Castro.
not a very pro-gun guy, and that's a vast understatement. But anyway, going to Canada might be a major occurrence here down the road, so I'm going to give everybody the heads up on this thing. If you're planning a trip to Canada, you probably better go, you know, because things are going to change up there, you know. I would assume you get an outfitter up there, probably issue a gun while you're there and say, here, shoot this gun. But nobody likes that. You know, you like shooting your own gun while you're there on the darn thing. So what the hey? What is the deal, Brent? What is the deal with Milford? Why is that lake so much better than anybody else's? Is it management?
Well, I guess you could say that. Wildlife and Parks has done a good job on that. It doesn't hurt that the hatchery is right there.
Yeah.
The hatchery is right there.
Sure
and they
is.
Get some extra fish. Don't kid yourself. But, you know, it's just, it's great habitat. If you look at that thing, it's rocky shorelines all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And that's great for the smallmouth bass. Smallmouth bass love that lake because there's boulders and great gravel areas for them to spawn. The hybrids or wipers, they stock those, but they don't spawn, but they stock them every year, and they get a great, because they're located near the dam and near the hatchery, they get their share of hybrids every year.
Mm-hmm.
and they just have tons of shad. If you got a lake with a lot of game fish and a lot of shad, it's gonna flourish. And for as long as I've been in Kansas City, that was the first Kansas reservoir that I fished.
Really, the first one?
Yeah, Rick Dykstra invited me, and we've been going a couple times every year since then. It was great then. The smallmouth bass was great then, and It hasn't missed a tick since then.
I guess, too, I don't, you know, we were out there several times, and I don't see the pressure. There was a lot of boats, but really wasn't, you know.
Yeah, well, it depends on, it's not Lake of the Ozarks pressure.
Yeah, that's what I guess.
Yeah, but
it's not a Truman.
In spring, it gets quite a bit of pressure. In the summertime, you know, when you're fishing early morning hours, there aren't that many trailers in the parking lot, and that's when those hybrids.
Yeah,
that's the most fun fishing.
Oh,
when those hybrids come up early in the morning, or toward evening. They'll come up like white bass, and you'll think, these can't be white bass, because you look in the water and see these huge fish, like at a Japanese restaurant,
you know,
just jumping around and stuff.
They're big splashes. I mean, you can tell that it's not a bunch of white. And yeah, we've done that. It just seems to get from July 4th on. It seems like it gets a little bit better and a little bit better. And going out there in August, it can be miserable, you know, that upper 90 and humid and no wind. But keep an eye to the horizon, and sometimes you'll get gulls. You know, working with them.
Gulls.
And yeah.
Everybody out there watches for the gulls.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. That tips off where the hot action is.
Where the shad are coming up.
Yeah, so always look at the horizon. I'm always looking for bird activity, but also just looking to see if you see a splash here or there.
Yeah.
But that topwater stuff, there's just nothing better.
Edible fish, Mark, everything you like, fish, you eat any kind of fish. But
Hybrid?
Yeah. Well,
absolutely, it's great. It's very firm and very mild. That was one of, you know, Greg had this recipe that we talked about, I think it was last week. Taking a crawfish boil, shrimp spice, and just cubing up the fish and boiling it with this spice and using a garlic butter. Tastes just like crab meat. I mean, really just like king crab meat. But hybrids are great for that because the texture is so good. They're so firm. Just like white bass or anything else, just get that red meat out.
Get the red meat out.
You took the words out of my mouth. Just get that red meat out of there.
Yeah, because it ruins it as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
Brent, I want to go back to the past. I got thinking about having you in here today, and I got when I was driving down here this morning, I was thinking about, you know, the changes. When did you start writing for the Kansas City Star? What year was that?
I was just a baby.
You just a baby? 80-something?
1980.
Wow.
Yeah, first place I went was below Truman Dam.
Ah.
That was pretty new at the time, and everybody was talking about how good the fishing was below Truman Dam.
Mm-hmm.
I went down there, and I went to a tackle shop up on a hill, and old Norm Troutman, see if any of your listeners remember old Norm Troutman. He was a great guy. Old bib overalls, just a shirt that had tobacco juice all over it and everything. My kind of people, man. And I got to talking, and he threw me a handful of marabou jigs and said, here, if you don't catch anything on these, bring them back, and I'll give you your money back.
Wow.
I said, yeah, right.
Okay.
So we went down below the dam and started throwing those marabous. And I tell you what, everything was hitting them. They were running a lot of water. It was all foamy. I could still picture it.
Sure?
The water was kind of foamy, and there were some back eddies and stuff like that. Man, I'd throw in there and catch these fish. I thought I was Bill Dance. I thought, hey, man, Missouri's going to be great. And then I look around me, and all these guys got these gigantic stringers of fish, everything from blue cats to white bass and everything. And I thought, well, maybe I got to learn a little bit more. Then it was during turkey season. At the time, there was a turkey check station there, and these guys were bringing in these huge turkeys. And then there were paddlefish. I thought, boy, I'm going to really like this steak. You know? It was fun.
How did you get started at the Star? How did that all evolve?
Well, I was cleaning out the bathrooms, I wrote something on one of the stalls. For a good time. Call Mrs. Tobin. how did I get started? No, I was an outdoor writer in Wisconsin, and in Racine, Wisconsin, and a friend of mine told me they were looking for an outdoors editor and encouraged me to apply. So my wife came up here. We figured if nothing else, we'll get a free motel room down on the plaza. They put us up down on the plaza and took us out to eat. I thought, hey, this is pretty cool. And I did the old standard tryout, and I didn't think anything of it, and they called me back and
got the rest is history.
That was it.
Very cool.
Now that the smoke has cleared, as you're getting ancient, as you're getting older.
Oh, jeez.
The groaning deal when you open the door in your car.
That was you.
That was me. you look back at this. You've seen a lot. The 1/8 cent sales tax came in through the Missouri Department of Conservation. Has it been great? I mean, is it good? Is it? You look at this backwards now. It's been quite a ride, hasn't it?
No, it's been a great ride. It really has. I mean, you know, when I retired, or they retired me, whichever way you want to look at it. I thought, I've had a great ride. Now what?
Yeah.
I tried to be a bull rider. That didn't work out too well. So I thought, well, maybe I'll keep my hands in it and I'll do a little bit of freelancing and stuff. There were a couple people that always told me when I left the Star, they wanted me to write for them. One was Kansas Wildlife and Parks Magazine, who I just love those people.
Sure.
I'm still writing for them. They're just great people. They put out a fine product. I mean, it's a magazine that goes under the radar, but it's really a good magazine.
Yeah.
Them and Outdoor Guide over in St. Louis. Do you know Bobby Whitehead?
Yes.
Do you know Bobby?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, Bobby's just a prince.
Prince.
And I started writing for them, and I thought, geez, you know, if I can bring in some extra money for my fishing and hunting habits, you know, I thought that I'll do that. You know, and now I'm probably writing more than I did when I was at the Star.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, our guests are special in the studio. We've got Greg Thompson and Brent Frazee, not to put them in any peck order whatsoever. They're both good people. You just got to get to know them. They're strange. They've both been beamed up, you know, and some of them got warrants in 3 different galaxies. So what the hey. Hey, we are proudly, and I mean this from my heart, brought to you by King City Lumber Company. Quit making those obscene gestures. KingCityLumber.com. If you guys need a loafing shed, don't we all need a loafing shed?
Yes.
You just go hang out in?
Must have.
Must have, deal.
Yep. Got to have an air conditioner in it now.
Well.
And they can do it.
They can do it. Them guys could do anything. And there's nobody like these guys. And I've had so many people that have listened to the show, have done business with them, and they said it's true. Whatever you said with those guys, and enough. They're the master carpenters. They will not leave your site until you're 110% satisfied. There's nobody like them. If you need an unattached garage, a crash garage, you need a garage for your machinery, whatever you need, a big shed, please go to these guys because you're going to love them. KingCityLumber.com. Got to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Greg Thompson, Brent Frazee, Mark Tobin, my boy Chris is in here, and we're having a giggle. The better radio shows are off the air than the ones that are on because the FCC would probably terminate our employment here, which they should. speaking of terminating employment, how's Joe Falco doing?
They're doing real good. He's got a few boats in, which I don't think he was expecting, but they've got a few lunds down there, and good time to get down there and buy. They're willing to trade right now. So,
Used boats are premium, they tell me.
I know, right. Yep, for sure. But Dave Hemme, he's the head mechanic out there, and he's just
good.
Just a great guy, and there's just not a problem that he can't figure out. And if you have a boat, you're going to have a problem with it.
What?
Yeah, that's why they call a boat, best out of another 1,000.
A boat? Yep. A broken boat? What?
But, best place to take them is Sportsman's Outfitter and Marine. They're out there in Belton, the last Belton exit. It's off Cass Road, just on the west side of 49 Highway. Good bunch of folks to do business with, I'll guarantee you that.
I'll guarantee you. Hey, a new sponsor that we've had on now for about a month is Sure Ag. They're basically out of Four City, Osborne, and Savannah, Missouri. And these guys here, I've been doing business with them for 15 years. They come and spray my cornfield, and they don't complain. I mean, they were stuck more than they were started. And so they sprayed it with Roundup because I had to replant because all the snow geese ate all my crops. But they came in and resprayed that thing. And I'm telling you guys, you talk about efficiency. They got the corners. They got it all done. There's nobody like these guys. And for you guys that are farmers and you understand, the input cost is off the scale as far as putting a crop in. So what you have to do is get someone who makes every inch count. It used to be you make every acre count. Now you make every inch count. You got to have weed control. And these weeds are getting a tolerance to this, getting a resistance to a lot of these chemicals. Well, these guys got them kind of figured out. And they sneak around and get them, you know, before they get big. So there's nobody like these guys. They got phosphate, potash, sulfate, urea, nitrate, pelletized gypsum, or anything that you need in the ag world. There's nobody like these guys. Again, Rich or at Four City or Randy at Savannah or Jeff at Osborne. It's called Sure Ag. It's a spinoff of Sure Grow. And they leave your farm in better shape than you think. So they're just wonderful, wonderful people. I think between the three the managers, they got 115 years experience. I kind of think they got it figured out.
Yeah, you think,
you know,
right.
On the deals. But when you're in that market, we've got a lot of farmers listening to the show. And you guys need the professional people. And that's what these guys are. They care. Sure Ag. Again, they are out of Savannah, Four City, and Osborne. So these are the guys I do business with, and I 110% recommend them. You're going to be happy doing business with them on the deal. So Brent Frazee is in the studio here, and it's such an honor to have Brent in to come into the show. And let's look back. We're getting elderly.
Oh, you are.
Yeah. Anyway, now that the 8% sales tax has been in place for years now, how do you judge that? Is that still, is it good, bad, and different? Did they make mistakes? Do you think they're doing great? Do you think where they're at with this thing?
I think they, by and large, I think they've done great work with the thing. I mean, everybody always says Missouri has the best conservation department in the country. And that's true, but money solves a lot of problems.
Sure does. Mm-hmm.
Money solves a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. And they, by and large, have really done well with this, with the money that we've gotten. I don't even think they would debate with you that there are some excesses because of that money where they can afford to have some lavish events and things like that they wouldn't if it wasn't for the money. The one thing and this will probably get me in some hot water, the one question that I have is a lot of these things where they sink money into to restore some of the endangered species. And, you know, I'm all for bringing endangered species back. I really am. And you look at the deer and the turkey. That's a fantastic success story. But some of the other things that they're doing is just, like, for instance, the ruffed grouse. Yeah. I mean, they for years, They tried to build the rough grouse back to what it was going to be, and it never took hold.
Yeah.
They even had a hunting season, and some guys would take some birds, and there was optimism. But, you know, now they've got another rough grouse restoration, and part of, in fairness to them, part of the money's coming from hunters and people who want to bring them back in that area. But I'll be watching to see if they come back. I just don't know if we have rough grouse habitat in Missouri.
It's been the ones we've had have been total failure.
Yeah.
They did it in Ray County. And I don't know if there's any left. I never heard of them after that. But I understand it takes like 10,000 saplings per square acre for their habitat. Where the heck you got that now?
Yeah, no, not in Missouri.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you know, they've done some good. They've done some access, like up where I'm from in Holt County, they gave you a Payne Landing where you can get your boat in and out of the Missouri River. Mm-hmm. What was not there without the Missouri Department of Conservation, Bob Brown, Nottoway Valley, these public hunting areas. You know, okay. You know, they did great on this thing. But again, you know, they're the richest conservation department in the United States of America. And and that should swing a lot of clout. There should be a lot of things, a lot of attaboys and that kind of stuff on the deal. And they made a lot of mistakes. And they I'll say one thing about them. They do stand up and say, yeah, we screwed this up. Heck, we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
Well, Mark doesn't, but, I mean, we all make mistakes. But,
yeah, I think they are receptive to things. I don't know, some of their for a while, and I think they corrected this, but for a while their waterfowl zones were so fragmented and everything that people I was at the Star, people would complain.
Sure.
They'd say, I'm not even going duck hunting because I can't figure out where the zone is.
Yep.
Like the zone would go through one county, and they didn't know on the north side of that county or the south side they were different zones. But they have been receptive to that, and I think the zones are pretty easy to figure out now.
Well, you know, we made a big deal about it here last year. You get the deer hunting pamphlet is 76 pages. And you go, come on. You know, gee whiz, how, you know, if you're on this side of the fence, you can shoot an antlerless deer, and you're on that side of the fence, you can't do that. And, you know, it's just a little over micromanaged deals.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll give you a scientific reason why,
yeah,
but
sure.
But there's a sociological reason why, too, that you have to make it easy enough for the good old boy to know if he's doing things legally.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you get these, like you just said, 76 pages of regulations, boy, oh boy, that gets confusing. A lot of guys just don't want to break the law.
Sure.
And they don't, in those zones that are close to them, they don't want to.
Yeah.
They don't want to go close to those
areas.
I had
a very dear friend, Brent, that was a waterfowler. And when they went to Steel Shot and they went to the Missouri duck stamp and the Missouri, what was the other paperwork you had to have, he said, I'm done. I didn't think he would ever quit waterfowl hunting. And he sold his shotgun, sold his decoys, and got clear out of the business on the deal. And it just run him off on the deal. They just over, you know, the other thing that I don't like, and which is just a personal opinion, it'll get me in hot water too, but they're so slow to change. You know, the predation problem right now that we've got. Come on, look what South Dakota just did.
Yeah.
They're putting, if you're under 18 years of age, they put $700,000 in a fund. So if you bring in a tail off a raccoon or a possum or a skunk or a coyote, they give the kids $10 a piece. Well, that gets them involved in the outdoors.
And it helps solve a bad problem.
And solve a bad problem. Yeah. And gets the kids' adrenaline rush to when they get out of school to go check their trap lines again. You know, and they want kids back in the environment, I keep saying. Well, how about let's do that? Let's do what South Dakota did. That Christy Noem, that gal's an outdoor enthusiast. She's the governor of South Dakota. And she cares. You know, and she's getting these kids in the program, and it's working.
And she is a hunter.
Yes,
she is an outdoorsman.
We got to take one more break on here, but when I come back, I want to talk about the media business in Kansas City. It's not a pleasant experience for me to talk like this, but I've got to. When Brent left the Kansas City Star, Brent, you never didn't hear this from me, but let's keep it between ourselves. A lot of people, adios to Kansas City Star when you left.
I don't think you ever realized that.
Yeah,
I did.
Know?
Well, yeah, I did. That's the only reason I ever got it was for Brent's articles and his fishing reports.
And why in the heck they did that is, I call it the Falling Star. I don't call it the Kansas City Star. And it's just silly. Not a deal. Anyway, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Take a little break. We'll be right back with you.
Introducing the Wonder Boner. The Wonder Boner is proud to announce its new worldwide spokesman, TV and radio star, and the 69th best fisherman in the world, Mark Tobin. The Wonder Boner is great for fishermen and fisher ladies alike. Just find the right-sized boner, start at the spine, and pull the fish right on through. Comes in many different sizes because we know each job requires the proper size tool. But don't worry, each size is sure to satisfy. Get your loved one the gift they not only need, but the gift they deserve. The Wonder Boner, brought to you by Mark Tobin, the 69th best fisherman in the entire world.
It was nice working here. You know, we had a lot of fun and made people laugh. Some people we aggravated with that commercial. I got lambasted over that, but that's okay.
When that was done, Greg helped with that. Greg and
blame me.
And Blake did it.
Just because I did it.
Blake did a masterful job, but he actually found one. Greg found one of the Wonder Boners. And it's a real product, and it works great for things like trout. We took it down to Tanticomo, and you talk about quick work of deboning a trout. I mean, they're hard to find. They quit making them. But the original commercial, Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs does the narrating on the original television commercial. But it's a real product. And if you can find one and you like to trout fish and whatnot, it's great. Have you ever caught whitefish down at Milford?
Yeah.
Another great fish
to debone.
Have you ever had smoked whitefish?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. You know, up in Canada, that's one of the...
Oh, whitefish, yeah.
Yeah.
Big deal.
And smoked, yeah.
Yeah.
And we got...
Hey.
I said whitefish. Goldeye.
Goldeye.
Goldeye is what I meant.
Goldeye.
Yeah.
I have.
They do catch whitefish up there.
But well, we've had some fishing trips that have been saved by goldeye.
I tell you, they hit like a freight train.
I know.
They kind of wear out rather quick, but they're a fun fish to catch.
Yeah.
And they're great smoked.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tobin, what fish can't you eat?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I knew that, but when
I think he was thinking about shad.
Yeah.
That's one I wouldn't eat. Yeah.
I have a small complaint about our guest today.
Uh-huh.
Well, I had a hard time getting into the studio today because of all the grandpa groupies outside and the paparazzi, and these grandpa groupies were throwing their orthopedic socks, and it was
it's a riot
outside. Have you looked out?
Yeah, and the walkers in front of the door.
Oh my goodness!
To get in.
I am kind of the sex symbol for the senior age.
Legend in your own mind, aren't you?
I sure am.
I want to. Brent, this is a hot spot with me, and I'm mad about it. The media business in Kansas City, Missouri, the Channel 9s, the 41s, whatever it is, ABC, NBC affiliates here in this town, have you ever seen them do anything about the great outdoors on any of the newscasts in this town? And the reason I'm bringing this up is, the point is that there's more hunting and fishing license sold and per capita in Kansas City than any other town in the United States of America. Why would you not have something about deer? The only thing they'll have about deer season when somebody accidentally shoots somebody, or turkey hunting, but why would you not have a fishing report or say something about the great outdoors?
I'll tell you something. What you say, I don't know if that's true, what you were saying about per capita.
Mm-hmm. I read that in Field and Stream, so okay, I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
A lot of it comes down to fishermen and hunters are the silent majority. I mean, they never say, hey, they never call into the paper or write to the paper, or email them, and say, "Hey, what's the deal? You know, we've got all these fishing and hunting licenses sold, and we have no representation in the paper." You know, even when I left, there were a lot of people who said they hated to see me go and hated to see the outdoors stuff go, but Did they talk to the, did they write a letter to the editor? Did they, you know, did they talk to the editors and just say, I mean, I don't know if it's that, that they don't realize how popular it is, or maybe, you know, we get caught in our own little worlds. We think fishing and hunting is pretty significant, but maybe when compared to the Chiefs and the Royals and KU basketball and stuff, maybe we're a small, maybe we are a small
percentage
of, but
we are,
but at the same time, even if we're a niche type participation sport, there should be something.
Yeah,
there should be something in there.
If they put the bowling scores in, they sure as hell can put the fishing report in, I would think.
Yeah. The other thing is, good news doesn't sell. You know, have you heard
if
the
it
old
bleeds,
adage?
It leads.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a study that I saw. I think it was out of Japan. It was on their online news. And for 24 hours, they did nothing but fluff stories and feel-good stories. And they lost over 60% of their
market share.
Yeah, well, their readership that day. Uh-huh. And, so we say we want good news. But we don't watch good news. We, you know, I think there's psychologically there's something about bad news makes you feel a little bit better about maybe your situation. And that's what we are, whether it's a conscious thing or not, we're kind of drawn to the bad news.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know.
But Fred, just one other thing. I've told you guys, and you're all friends, and I love your show, but I think that's why shows like yours are very important. Because, you know, in a shrinking media, outdoor media, you know, you can still provide what is missing, maybe in print or something like that. I mean, you can get the news out there about the big state record bass caught or something like that. And that's the only way left other than, you know, online, a lot of online stuff, but you guys are the last lifeboat.
Yeah, we are
out there.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, and you know, I have so many people contact me and say, I don't hunt or fish, but enjoy your show, and I don't know why, but that's okay. I accept everybody. You know,
that's the biggest compliment there is.
Yeah, it really, really is. And boy, it just humbles me when someone tells me that on the deal. But you know, I've been around a lot of media people, news people, over my career, not only in this market, in other market, but the arrogance, I guess I shouldn't say this, the arrogance, pompous, they're the most important people that ever walked the face of the earth. And now they'll show some spandex people run around on their bicycle, a charity run, but they will not show a guy pulling his boat out of the water or a stringer fish, you know, and it's such a big, big deal in the state of Missouri. It's a billions of dollars industry in the state of Missouri alone, just deer season.
Season is huge. 500,000 people.
Yes.
And that's documented. That's how many people buy licenses in Missouri.
Sure. And, you know, it's such, you know, it's the restaurants do good, the gas station does good, the processing people, the guide services, the leases to the farmers, the Pittman-Roberts. Now, I've got this in my formerly nicotine fingers as we speak. The Pittman-Roberts Act, which is an excise tax on every bow, arrow, fishing rod, shotgun shell, rifle, .22, whether you're shooting anything at animal or not, a target, has generated since 1937 $11.5 billion. $11.5 billion. We're the first ones, you know, I get my rub is Squaw Creek. I'm sitting there in my duck blind, and these cars are lined up as far as you can see going up and down there with their cameras, which is fine. It's the taxpayers. They have the right to go in there. But I think they ought to have a duck stamp present. If you want to participate and watch 1,300,000 snow geese sitting over the fence over there, pay back a little bit. I realize you write a check on April the 15th, but, you know, they need to, the outdoors people, if you have a problem, the tundra swan and that kind of problem that got so extinct, who in the world, it was the funding off of the outdoorsman who put it back in off the Environmental Endangered Species Act, you know?
Hey, man, when antis talk about, when they talk about how terrible it is that we shoot, like, say, one member of a goose family or something like that, they're looking at a very narrow view. Because what they don't understand, when we buy that hunting license, we're paying we're paying for 50,000 geese.
Exactly.
We're not paying for one family that loses a member of its family.
Sure.
They paint it as such cruelty, but they don't look at the big picture and see how many, like say with deer and turkey, with what we did with our funding for the Department of Conservation. All those little Bambis that you're looking at out there, a lot of them were provided by us.
You're right, we did.
Because our tax money and the Department of Conservation doing a great job of restocking deer across the whole state.
Yep.
They don't realize that that little Bambi was a direct response from the funding and from the programs that the department did.
Yeah, go to Shepherd Hills. Go down to the hatchery down there.
Oh, yeah, right.
Worth this money. This is an expensive venture.
Cool.
There's a 100,000 trout in there or whatever. Where'd that come from? Mm-hmm. It was us outdoor enthusiasts have written checks. That's where it came from on the deal. And I don't know. You're probably right, Brent. It's a hot spot with me, and I'm taking too much time. But, gosh darn it, we're the guys out here in the trenches. We're the guys. We're like the guard on the football team. The guy runs 20 yards off the guard. Well, he made the block. We made the block, and we're not getting the credit. It's a shame. It's a total, total travesty as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I'm mad about it,
I don't blame you.
And I'm not the only one. But, again, we need to – here like Squaw Creek, where I'm from, we just got a $1,050,000 grant off there. Where'd that money come from? It came from that act that we all fund.
Yeah.
And last time I checked, there was, $100 million in it or something, But the outdoor enthusiast is the ones that are writing the checks. Yep. Come on, guys.
Yep. Well, I really think it's like a lot of things in society today. People have to speak out. They really, if you don't like it that there's no outdoors in the paper, don't sit on your hands or in a coffee shop and say, "Boy, this is a bunch of crap." Take it to the paper, down at the Star,
write them a letter.
Write them a letter or an email and say, "Hey, we want our outdoors. We want outdoors back in the newspaper or something." Or that's just a minor thing, like the TV station, like you said.
Yeah.
Come on. You can complain among yourselves, but it's not going to do a bleep bit difference if you're just talking about it at a coffee shop. You got
to do it.
You got to be proactive.
I don't think people understand how much a email, a letter means to a producer or a director of one of these media groups. It don't take too many people to get mad and write, and if they get 5 letters, it'll change the course.
Yeah.
10 letters, it'll change the course. And us outdoor guys, we all sit around and squall. I'm one of them, I know. And I bitch just as loud as anybody else. Do something. Do something on this thing, regardless on the darn thing. Keep involved on the deal. I'm going to have a meeting. I haven't scheduled it, but I'm going to go meet with the new director of the Squaw Creek, Williams. I can't remember his last name, but I want to know where the money went. I want to know where they're spending it, what's going on. I want him to know that I'm watching. That's all it amounts to on the deal,
And that's your right.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so proud of Kansas Wildlife and Parks. This new hatchery, guys, that is coming on, I think it's going to be online maybe next May. they just grabbed the bull by the horns and went after it.
Yeah,
with no funding.
With no funding.
Yeah, right.
And when we were over there, a lot of those guys volunteered and used their own pickup trucks and gas and money and to go stock ponds and da-da-da-da-da, you know. That's why I'm so high on Delta waterfowl. Those guys, those guys up there use their own personal truck, don't want any money, and the people that do work for them don't make real serious money. I mean, it's minute, and they're volunteer. They do the predator control. They do, you know, and they just get down in the trenches and get things done. And, you know, I know we're just one voice in the sea, but gosh darn, you need to start standing up and beating your chest and screaming at these people, not scream at them, but be tactful and polite enough to them to get their attention. Yep. The deal, you know,
we're going to run out of time here.
We need
before
to.
before we do, Brent, one of the reasons that we wanted you in here was I wanted to wanted you to talk about what's going on in your life now. What are you doing?
Pretty much sitting on the air conditioning vent when it's hot.
With no clothes on is what he texts me.
I got to fight my dog for this. A couple ventures I'm in. Just started up something new with a couple of talented young journalists. We've teamed up to form Great Outdoors, GreatPlainsOutdoors.com. And that is, like Fred was saying, just to get some more publicity, more press out there on what's going on in not only Kansas, but Nebraska, the Dakotas, Iowa, Colorado. We're taking a multi-platform type thing.
Cool.
They're doing a podcast, Rob McDonald and Brittany French, and they're great people. They are talented and they're very good. They have been doing an outdoor podcast. They're having me on the podcast once a month to give a fishing report. And then I'm writing articles. I'm writing an article now of five best places to fish on the Great Plains.
Cool.
And then we're also, you know, we're doing some videos. We're showing some videos. Again, it's Great Plains Outdoors. One word, GreatPlainsOutdoors.com. And
go to our Facebook site. I've already posted it.
Oh, have you? Great. Thank you, Greg. Thank you. But yeah. We're excited about it.
Well, I think so.
We're excited, but we hope to turn it into a moneymaker right now. Right now, it's a volunteer deal.
Good luck.
You know, but. And one other thing, I'm on yourbassguy.com, which is I interview the big pros.
Cool.
And they provide fishing tips and how they got started and things like that. It's really fun to talk to the big pros.
Oh, I bet.
Get their background and how they got started.
I'll
and everything.
Be done. Well, that's exciting. Brent, I tell you what, you know, when you come in here, it just makes my day, and I mean that from my heart. You know, I don't have you around enough. I know it's hard for elderly people to get up at this hour in the morning, other than go pee.
I was going to say, I get up and pee.
You go and pee every once in a while, but darn, I appreciate you. You know, you're an asset to this community like you don't believe.
Amen.
I don't think you understand.
Thank you, man. That means a lot.
Yeah, well, it's got to be done. But you know,
I always have a great time in here with you guys.
Yeah, well, we giggle and laugh.
I love it. It's a great atmosphere to tell people about the outdoors instead of a real stiff, you know, stiff presentation and stuff. Yeah. I mean, this is fun.
Well, that's what it's all about. You know, make you giggle and take the stress away from you a little bit. I have people tell me, say, listen, you're consistent. You make me giggle every Saturday and take the stress off my job and my life. So I go, that's what we're all about. Thank you for coming in.
Hey, I appreciate you having me.
We are brought to you by Reed Chevrolet up in St. Joseph, Missouri, Frederick and I-29. They named that street after me. I don't know if you knew that or not. I'm so ancient, too, up there. But if you're into the mode, which who isn't, for a new Silverado pickup. There's no finer people. They will never sell you a pickup. They will help you buy one. They've got a few of the 22s just trickling. I think they got in four or five this week. kind of hard to come up with new pickups. So if you're in a mood, these are the finest people you'll ever do business, non-commissioned salespeople, and I just love them. Can't say enough good things. I can go on forever with about Trevin. But anyway, that's my personal side of this thing. So we're about out of time.
Bummer. This went too quick.
We need to go 2 hours.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no doubt about it. Hey, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time I see ya, I hope we see you in the great outdoors.
Happy Father's Day. So long, everybody.
Have a great weekend.